Right, and to discuss this further, whether the revolution has brought freedom or further struggle for the Egyptian people, is a journalist, Afshin Ratansi, who's been covering Arab and Middle East developments for years. Mr. Ratansi, in Egypt, the Mubarak regime was toppled for the sake of democracy. Are the people really getting what they were calling for?
Well, Rory, it certainly is a worrying development, especially for Coptic Christians in Egypt. I think most people seem optimistic, relatively optimistic about the September elections. But one mustn't forget that there is a fair degree of jockeying for power, not least from foreigners. And we'll have to wait and see what the United States wants to do. After all, the U.S. has lost a big ally, its little puppet dictator in Cairo. And it'll be interesting to see how Islamist elements that have form with certain types of backing from Washington, how things develop now.
Certainly, we do know that Mubarak for decades was on the payroll of Washington, D.C. Now, turning our attention from Egypt to Syria, there are reports the U.S. is going to impose sanctions on Bashar Assad, which would be the first time he's actually been personally targeted. What's the scenario? What's the future, do you see, for Syria?
Well, I think, cui bono is the question we all have to ask. Syria, a stalwart ally of the Palestinian cause, and of course Russia has a base in Tartus in Syria. And if you just look at Syria's allies, Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, the Hezbollah movement in Lebanon, we know the United States wants to destabilize Syria, just as the European Union does. But the idea that the Arab Spring, if that's what it turns out to be, was a spring against those who were against U.S. hegemonic power is absurd. The Arab Spring, if it is one, is against U.S.-backed puppet dictators. And no one can say that Bashar al-Assad is a U.S. Puppet dictator.
Now, when you talk about the U.S. wanting to destabilize the region there and destabilize Syria, the U.S. has also urged for Assad's regime to be declared illegitimate. But what does it have to do with Washington? What gives D.C. the right to make such a declaration?
It's interesting. I mean, I've been in Syria quite a lot over the past couple of years or so. Washington certainly must have looked at the shootings by Israeli soldiers on the Golan Heights with an element of glee. One person who knows that there are problems in Syria. We mustn't say that there aren't any. A lot of them caused by the International Monetary Fund. I'm sure Dominique Strauss-Kahn knows quite a bit on Rikers Island about the deregulation, the privatization, the wage freezes that have caused a great deal of distrust of the Syrian government by the Syrian people. But we know what the United States and the EU want. We know it from WikiLeaks, because they fund stations like Barada TV. And I have to say, monitoring the international media at the moment, the unsubstantiated video reporting and so on is widely seen as quite suspicious for whatever is actually happening on the ground. I'm hearing things that are very different about instability there. And I think, as in your earlier report about Mr. Medvedev, there's no way Moscow or China or Beijing would countenance bombing of Syria, and sanctions really haven't hit the country the way Washington or EU powers want them to.
All right, so the sanctions are being fairly ineffective, as you're saying here. But the U.S. now, let's take a step back and get a broader picture. The U.S. backed the uprisings in Egypt and Tunisia. It's intervened in Libya's conflict. It's still in Iraq. It's in Afghanistan. Military bases all over the region. What are Washington's motivations here?
I think if an alien from outer space came down, they would say, why is Washington yet again allying itself with Islamist groups like it did with Al-Qaeda, the nominal perpetrators of 9/11? The Libya bombardment seems to have created more Al-Qaeda worries. The Tunisian government reporting some of their troops killed by Al-Qaeda troops. The U.S. U.S.'s policies in the region, it's no wonder conspiracy theorists think there's some grand plan. Whilst, of course, the United States is interested in oil and energy resources and protecting its greatest ally, Israel, the way they go about it is, frankly, bizarre. If you want to influence a region, I don't know, take a look at the way Cuba influenced Venezuela. There was no way Fidel Castro sent troops against Carlos Andres Perez to create Hugo Chavez. You get what you want by leading by example. And the way the United States' foreign policy has been exposed by WikiLeaks, and as we've seen it time and time again, it's not what people want on the Arab street, let alone in Syria and Egypt. The people of Egypt rose against a U.S. puppet dictator.
Journalist and author Afshin Ratansi, live from London. Thank you.